Thanks, Mark. My name's Mickey Ransom. John and I will be doing a tag team approach today. And as already mentioned, that the Malakepapetan is on the rapid part of the changes that we're looking at making. So we'll be discussing some potential changes to the definition and the criteria for classifying a Malakepapetan. First of all, let's keep in mind that we do have differences in what a Malakepapetan is. For example, this peton over here on my right is a Malakepapetan that's formed in a eutic moisture regime, and then these are Malakepapetans in drier moisture regimes, and this one over here is one that has pedogenic carbonate close to the soil surface. So all of those will need to be considered as we talk about redefining and developing different criteria for the Malakepapetan. Of course, it's already been well documented today that soil taxonomy is too complicated. That would include both version 2 of soil taxonomy as well as keys to soil taxonomy. Now, one thing that we've done to try to bridge the gap is we developed an illustrated guide to soil taxonomy. And there was another committee that Ken Sheffy and I co-chaired that operated within the authority of the Natural Resources Conservation Service. We've designed and developed and published this illustrated guide to soil taxonomy. That's version 2. This version was designed to help users with some background in soil science to learn soil classification. However, it was not intended to replace a full version of Keys to Soil Taxonomy or version 2 of the original soil taxonomy either. Again, it was a bridge until we're able to make fundamental changes to soil taxonomy. So our objectives in this paper today would be to identify the complexity of the Malakepapetan, propose simplifying the classification keys, and to discuss how these simplified classification keys can be used as a model in future fundamental revisions of soil taxonomy. And associated with what we're going to do today, we're also going to be using a couple of different sources that we consider to be outside perspectives. This first one was by John Hempel, Towards Global Soil Information, Activities Within the GEO Task Global Soil Data, and also Erica Macelli, a professor of university in Hungary who chairs IUSS Division 1. She's also presented a critique of the complexity of the Malakepapetan, and we're going to be using some of her information as well. First of all, let me show you this, and we're doing this for a purpose so you can see just the complexity of the current hierarchy that we have for the Malakepapetan. If you study this closely, you'll see that it includes 10 ors, 12 ands. If you look at the criteria 1 through 5 deal with physical chemical properties. The introduction in criteria 6 deals with thickness. Criteria 7 is moisture, and criterion 8 is the N value, which a lot of people probably don't understand too well. Now, the other thing that I think is very helpful if you consider all of this is it's virtually identical to what's currently in the WRB. Now, this is a diagram that's designed to show you the complexity of the thickness of the Malakepapetan. Obviously, it can be a variable thickness all the way from 10 to 25 centimeters. And the thickness of the Malakepapetan, if you consider the current criteria, there are 4 total criteria, 5 sub-criteria, and then 4 sub-criteria. Again, this is work that from Erica Macelli. And John, I'm going to pass the baton to you to finish up.
Thank you, Mickey.
First of all, I just wanted to say what a pleasure it's been to work with Mickey on this project. It's been a challenge, but we've certainly enjoyed going through this critique. So, first of all, this would be our first cut suggestion of things to consider. This is certainly not ready for a proposal, but it is the beginnings, and so we are very interested in your feedback and your thoughts and your opinion. So first of all, at the beginning, introduction, this is how we would word it. The soil to be evaluated starts at the top of the mineral soil, beneath any organic layers, and extends down to where the soil fails to meet one of the requirements in Part 1 below. You'll see as we go through this that we've essentially split the definition into just two major parts. There are physical and chemical criteria, and then we evaluate the horizon thicknesses that meet all of those criteria to see if they meet the minimum thickness. So there's really only two decisions to be made in here. The other caveat that was always in every single epipedon is, what do you do if the soil is thinner than 18 centimeters? How do you maintain consistency if somebody goes out and plows something to 18 centimeters standard plow depth? Does that change the classification? And so this is just a simplified rewording of that concept to make sure that plowing does not change the classification. All right, so in the first section and all, there are six criteria that are listed that are physical and chemical restrictions. And you're very familiar with all of those. I would just take one of those and just show you the way that we would word it. Any rock structure, including fine, and that defining fine right here, less than or equal to 5 millimeters thick, stratification, occupies less than half the volume. So we tried to keep it simple. You don't see a lot of jargon in there. You don't see a lot of complex things, but we tried to maintain the criteria. And so another thing that's in here that's different is, instead of using the N value, we used fluidity, which is a test that's used by the subaqueous soil community and might be a little bit easier way to evaluate that same criteria. So it's not gone, but it's in simpler terms and something that can easily be replicated by scientists. The rest of this is just a simplification. One example that you might see that's a little bit different is that we tried to put in a surrogate. What if you don't have base saturation when you're out in the field? What do you do? So this was meant to be a field identification, so that wherever possible, we tried to place surrogate information that could be measured in the field or estimated in the field if you didn't have complex chemical data. Okay. Now, so if you have evaluated, say, two or three horizons at the top of a soil, and you felt that these horizons, either one, two, or all three of them, met all six of the criteria, then you just add up the thickness of that material and see if it fits one of these three thickness questions. And so these are the definitions. If the minimum thickness, the qualified material, in other words, the material that met all six of the criteria in Part 1, meets the minimum thickness of 25 centimeters if it meets either this or this. And these are just simplified rewordings of what was already in there, but you might notice that the organization is pretty simple. And then this is the criteria for the 18 to 25 centimeter thicknesses. And again, it's the same materials that were in there, but again, a little bit simplified wording on that. And then the third thickness, minimum thickness, is essentially, this is the same criteria that was in there, and then this particular exception was out of place and it was very ambiguously worded, and so we moved that up in here. And I think if you look and through this, if it's an 18 centimeter thickness, if it meets this and this, or if it meets this. And so this is just an example of some of the proposed changes that we've made. So we tried to clarify things, we tried to reorganize it, tried to use less jargon, tried to keep it short. The minimum thickness, we excluded the one where we thought a 10 centimeter thick material directly over bedrock just seemed to be completely out of place as has been studied and suggested before, so we took that out. What else was removed? Well, we took out the criteria, which was number 9. I didn't list it earlier, but criteria 9 was, actually 8, I guess, was the one that said that it cannot identify a mollic epipedon in a typic aridic moisture regime. And so it's a very difficult thing to understand. We feel like that criteria can still be considered in a definition of mollisols, But it can be moved to the key to soil orders. It can be left out of this definition. Because if you can't get past the definition of malic epipedon, you'll never get to the key of, to soil orders. And so moving some of these things out was part of our suggestions. We did away with some of these extremely different exceptions. So 2.5% organic carbon, which I can't measure in the field. That's been tried, but we haven't gained that knowledge yet. I can't really tell you what the moisture regime is. If I'm on site, I might be able to guess it. So that's been moved. And then we tried to put in some surrogates, and here's three examples here. We added a moist equivalent. Instead of just having a dry rupture resistance, we added a moist rupture resistance that we thought was equivalent. I think that makes a lot of sense. For base saturation, we allowed a pH, and then for N value, the fluidity test. So here's the original hierarchy, as Mickey showed you earlier. This would be our suggestion. I think it could work. And so in summary, the proposed changes need to be reviewed. These are just suggestions. These are talking points. Let's get some discussion going and some data. The rare exceptions we feel should either be deleted or just relocated to other keys. Instead of having them in the definition, have them in the keys. I know that would make those complex, but we can simplify those maybe in the next move. The moisture rule, is a good example of that. How do you know what the moisture regime is? I think we're getting to the point where people use their cell phones. If you have a place where you have reception, or maybe you can get reception, or you can do that before you get to the site, and if you already know these areas where you're in a typical aridic moisture regime, you can identify that before you travel to the site. So rather than looking around and looking and scratching your head, you might have that information available through you spatially and digitally. And then also, we're just saying that the very complex lab tests and lab data can either be augmented with surrogate data or replaced with surrogate data if possible. But you need to test out these relationships, and other complex definitions can be simplified. We think that these suggestions can be followed in the definition. So it's chapter 3 that we're talking about. Our suggestions, or at least our portion of the talk, is in chapter 3 where you have the definitions of the epipedons and all of the diagnostic horizons and characteristics. Can we improve and simplify that chapter? Because you have to consider that chapter before you go to the keys. And so that we think that this presents a little bit of an opportunity then for some changes.
Thank you, John.